Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The romance is over for another year at least, and the party poppers are packed away. Happy birthday for yesterday, King Kev OBE. It's the Football Ramble on Monday, 15th of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Yes, welcome everybody. Is it Jim Campbell? Jim? Or is it Ned Flanders? That's what I can't get my head around.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on the day, really.
Jim's got a lovely moustache right now. And I mean, to be honest, I'm rocking a bit of a moustache as well. So we look like, instead of like the Football Ramble this morning on Monday the 15th, we're like two dodgy cops interviewing a perp, and you're the perp, Kate.
Instead of
cocaine down the docks, it's forged copies of Debrett's, and who's who.
Neither of us know who's the good cop and who's the bad cop.
No,
we're both
exactly.
just a sort of, you know, not really sure cop. This, to be honest, this perp is going to get away. They're going to mess up the paperwork.
Thanks to my asthma.
They're guilty as sin, but they're going to be fine.
Oi.
We are not cut out for this.
I am guilty of sin. I was actually feeling as though I was a bit left out because I can't grow a moustache yet until I'm a bit, you know.
You get a stick on, Mum.
Till I'm a real boy. Till I'm a grown-up boy.
But you've really made me feel much more involved by now painting it that I'm on the other end of a sort of crime situation. thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I was thinking, Pete, yours is a bit more sort of Flanders Fields than Ned Flanders. It's more, you're a sort of poet. You look more like a poet with your goatee.
Yeah. Yeah. I look like I've got some kind of alcohol problem.
Actually, I just feel like in this situation, I've decided to not buy any more clothes for the entirety of this year, because I bought too many last year.
Grow your own facial clothes.
Exactly. This seems to be what I'm doing. I'm experimenting with facial hair just to feel something.
So it's like a lip clothe.
Yeah, in a way, I suppose it is.
That's nice. And also, you've got your Miami Vice shirt on as well, so we shouldn't.
Yeah.
We can paint a beautiful picture for the listener of exactly the visual treat that I'm experiencing right now on my Zoom. And a lovely end to a lovely treat of a weekend, visually and otherwise, on the football pitch. Also, I guess, depending on where your loyalties lie, should we just kick things off with Leicester beating Liverpool 3-1? Madison, Vardy and Barnes with the goals for Leicester. 3 and 6 minutes, everybody. Alisson, frowny face, I think, is what my notes say.
I kind of feel sorry for Alisson here, though, because obviously he's not the sort of goalkeeper you associate with regular mistakes, is he? But I think, do you think the impact of just how many different centre-back pairings he's played behind is starting to show? Because he doesn't know who's meant to be where.
I've heard this a lot.
In some cases, they don't even know who this bloke is.
Really?
Kabak is his name? Oh, he's run into me!
Just assume that if they're wearing the same shirt as you or the same shirt as the other players on the field that are your friends, maybe just don't try and just take them out with a swift boot. It's insanity.
Well, the thing is, as Souness always gets so pissed off about, they're all friends in football these days, aren't they, guys? They're all saying hello to each other in the tunnel. They're all cuddling and kissing. So maybe that's the confusion. I don't know, Jim. I've heard, no disrespect to your analysis, but I've heard of quite a few people saying that as an excuse for old Alisson. And I mean, is it not a kind
of... just go then, shall I?
Yeah, take your moustache with you. Clearly it seems to be a confidence thing, but he also didn't really need to be doing that. Presumably you're talking about the second goal where he's charged straight out into no man's land.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like clearly, you know, there's been miscommunication there, hasn't there? Isn't it just the most typical thing you can imagine that Jamie Vardy would just happen to have been there with an open goal at his feet? Like, there's not another player in the history of the game that you can expect to be in that situation more.
Taking a long time to kind of put it away as well. He really ran it into the net to really twist the knife. It was fantastic. But I thought Leicester really sort of equipped themselves well for this match, in that they could change halfway through it and really, again, turn the knife on Liverpool. Like, Perez coming on as like a number 10, really putting pressure on the fullbacks, and the diamond is back. Brucey at Newcastle showing the way. James Maddison at the end, obviously. James Maddison is the new kind of like football's Jonathan Wilson, or like he's like a tactical expert. He comes out after he comes out after the match, and instead of just sort of assuming, like leaving it to commentators and statisticians and stuff to kind of figure out what's happened in the match, he comes out and goes, "Look, we played a diamond. We've got an Ndidi. He's great. It's fantastic. I'm enjoying it."
Yeah, Madison's really stepping up on the old post-match, isn't he? It's getting better and better. I think he's such an impressive guy generally, but you don't tend to see that level of post-match analysis that often from a player, do you? I mean, we've been drooling over the Thomas Tuchel stuff, but perhaps he's just trying to step up more quickly.
He's starting his commentary career really, really early, Madison. He's just kind of trying to get in the kind of Gary Neville kind of mould quite early, I think.
Yeah.
What, you think this is his pitch for Match of the Day?
Well, Gary Lineker was known as Little Des, wasn't he? As in Des Lynam, while he was still a player, because he was exactly the same. He genuinely made an effort in these situations to set up a media career. So Theo Walcott's another one who's pretty good. I imagine we'll see him as a pundit in the future.
Oh, it's smart, that. It reminds me of Alex Scott, actually. I did some really small thing with her years and years ago, and she was just so well prepared and so clearly like knew exactly what she wanted to talk about. I thought, and this was when she was still a footballer, and you're like, this is someone who's got a plan in mind. We like to see it. Do Liverpool have a plan in mind? The three defeats in a row now. Brighton, of course, then City, now Leicester. It doesn't to be honest, feel like that much of a shock anymore. Although I suppose the shock in that one is I guess, Pete, the manner of the capitulation. It was 3 goals in 6 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you don't expect Alisson to do that. I think the way that Brendan Rodgers plays is that he is quite pragmatic. He will change formations. He will change styles on you quite quickly. And Liverpool just didn't cope with the speed of the change, really, and really let themselves down. You know, there's been a lot said about Klopp. Obviously, you know, he's had a fucking rough year, really, and it's not a great place from at the moment. But look, I think Luke probably said it best. On Twitter over the weekend, and I hate saying that, but he said that as soon as you get a goal against Liverpool, the heads drop a little bit, and I do agree. They just become a little bit disorganised, and they don't have the mobility they have had in the past, and they don't have the defenders that they have had in the past, and they'll probably look like a completely different side next season once VVD is back. It's sad. I feel sorry for Klopp because he's got a very, very well equipped side, but he's just struggling with a lot of key injuries at a key time, and in his personal life he's obviously having a terrible time as well.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation, isn't it, because he lost his mother in mid-January, and then the point was just this last week he wasn't able to go to the funeral. And I think, of course, in anybody's life, that would be the most difficult situation you can imagine. But when you think also of the kind of manager that Jurgen Klopp is, I mean, Julian Nagelsmann, talking about him last year, I think, said that what he does is to manage time and time again to inspire the players emotionally so that they all push themselves to their limits. So a lot of his management style seems to be about being this strong tidal wave of support and vigour and enthusiasm, as well as all the other things that he does so well. And so I think when you're a bit, he must be so emotionally depleted, it's hard to know where he then goes from there.
That said, you see the interview between Nagelsmann and Klopp had a chat together on Zoom in the last couple of days, because obviously before the game on Tuesday, and you know, he seemed as bright as ever. I just think he's not enjoying post matches. He's not enjoying having to say the same thing because he is under a lot of pressure. He's not enjoying having to say the same thing over and over again. It's like that, you know, when we see these politicians. I'll try to think the really good example, but those politicians who have got a key phrase that they just nail again and again and again, and they understand that if they deviate from that particular key phrase, it could be edited in a way that makes them look less, it looks less favourable for them. So I think Klopp just needs to sort of go into like robot mode. He's all about passion, he's all about expressing himself emotionally, but he just needs to go into sort of autopilot, I think, a little bit, and go, yeah, we weren't very good. The keeper tried to kick our own defender up the arse. It's not ideal, but we're probably going to, we probably won't see that in the next match. But what a goal from their goal, obviously. Hell of a back heel and then that finish.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Some goals this weekend.
Roberto Firmino. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful bit of play. Just so, so good. And it's a shame, isn't it, that a goal like that ends up ultimately being for nothing. But I think, you know, it's important to not lose Leicester within the story of this as well, because they are, we're at a stage, approaching the stage last season where they really dropped off. And where their chance to finish in the top four kind of eluded them a little bit. And, you know, they will be so, so determined to make sure that doesn't happen. And this sort of performance is an indicator that they're in it for the long haul this time. There's hopefully going to be no dropping off. I think I'd love to see them achieve something big this season.
I think they take advantage sometimes. Like, there was a big old delay on the VAR for for the goal. And it sucked all the momentum out of the side for Liverpool. And they took advantage. They changed up, and they look really, really, really good, didn't they?
Jim, are they on the verge?
I think they might be on the verge. they're on the verge of losing out to City, which is about as just what the Verge viewing platform is at the moment. barring some massive collapse from them. But, you know, they're as close to the verge as they were last season.
Oh, closer, I reckon, because Manchester United looked as though they might be on the verge or the sort of semi-verge or the proximitus verge. Yeah. And then they thought, look, we need to spice this up a bit. We don't want this talk of a two-horse title race. We need to draw with West Brom. Relegation candidates, yeah. West Brom. We need to give Mbaye Diagne his first goal for West Brom on 83 seconds off the back of a lovely cross from Conor Gallagher. That's what we need.
Off the back is the word, Kate. Off the back. Yeah. On the back. More like, I think. But Man United at the moment, they're not flat-track bullies. They're mid-table bullies. They can't seem to beat the worst or the best in the Premier League at the moment. And it did seem kind of obvious because, like, apart from Maguire, they are a bit crap in the air at the back at Man United. And De Gea's in some kind of self-preservation mode where he won't come and collect anything. It means, like, you really have to be careful because teams will swing in balls. And they are... I mean, I don't know exactly why that goal was allowed because, in my opinion, he was clambering. He had his hand over the player's eyes.
Surely there's a rule against that.
I don't know. We've seen so many dodgy, weird VAR decisions. How did that get through? My word.
If a man can't cover another man's eyes with his hand in his enthusiasm for scoring a goal, if he's not got that level of enthusiasm, he doesn't fucking deserve to score a goal, eh, Jim? What is this?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And also, that it's, you know, for anyone that for whatever reason didn't see that, he didn't like jump on his back and put his hands over his eyes. It all happened in a split second. As much as we would have all enjoyed that, but it was amazing, amazing bustle and a hustle from him, wasn't it? And I think one of the things that really impresses me about Sam Allardyce's teams is how, like, he just makes the opposition play his game. Mm. It's like they forget they don't have to. Like, that, some teams get sucked into it. Like, they start knocking it long and, like, playing head tennis. And there was a few instances of that yesterday. And this, I saw a really weird stat at the weekend as well. Do you know, this is the first time that Sam Allardyce, as a manager, has ever drawn a match, apart from all those times when he has, like when he got relegated that time. And he always goes on about how he hasn't been relegated.
Oh, you really had me there for about a second. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should have been a win anyway, shouldn't it? Frankly, not for United.
What, for West Brom?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on.
It's funny, like, the Ollie Out Brigade are out again.
Oh, no. Where are they out to? They shouldn't be going anywhere, Jim. What? They should be staying home. What? They should be washing their hands. And they should be being polite on social media.
Well, they're doing, to my knowledge, they're doing most of those things, but that last one has yet again eluded them. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Man United was like, are they actual title challengers, you know? And
mate, it wasn't long ago we were talking about Spurs being actual title challengers. So.
Yeah. that was a nightmare, wasn't it? Or maybe that's just me.
Cheese dream.
But yeah, they... it does. We've said many a times that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer seems to be very good at putting a run together when his job is really under pressure, and then he'll kind of reaffirm things a bit, shore them up, and then it will collapse again. And that seems to be kind of what's happening now. They just looked a little bit unimaginative and
sluggish, slow. I thought,
yeah, very.
Pogba never seemed like more relevant and important to that side. It really was something else. And they just need to stop shipping goals. So like 30 odd goals or something, and most of any club in the top nine, it's not ideal. Can we talk about, though, the Bruno Fernandes goal? Now, people on Twitter are ill. They are ill. They said some pretty respectable people on Twitter.
Wait,
on socials,
it's a pandemic,
were comparing,
to be honest.
Like, I know. Well, all right, okay. They might be ill for other reasons, but some of really respected people were comparing that goal to Zidane's volley in the Champions League final.
Oh God.
It was in the Champions League final, and Bruno's was at the Hawthorns, for fuck's sake, to draw against West Brom. It was a bored-looking man shinning a goal in between four disinterested West Brom defenders. It was a okay goal. It was good, but he wasn't under any pressure. Ings was better yesterday. At least had a bit of pace. Loughton's as well. Loughton's was incredible.
Shut up, Twitter. Shut up. It's so tedious, isn't it?
Wrong.
Did you see Harry Maguire?
About the goal, can I just say, I like it though, Pete, when your legs are at a perfect right angle. That always pleases me.
My legs?
Well, yours too.
I'm seated, Kate. I mean, they're going to be.
But Fernandez's legs were at this perfect right angle. And also, did you like the celebration? It was very tender. Did you see the tender celebration? Little tender kiss and rub on the back of the head from Edinson Cavani. I guess the idea is you're not allowed to face each other when you're celebrating. It was just very...
Right.
It's very sweet. You've got to kind of...
Well, yeah. that's how West Brom scored the first goal. Just clamber on the back.
Yeah. Did you see what Harry Maguire said after the game?
Oh, didn't he blame Klopp? Didn't he blame Klopp for saying that they get too many penalties or something?
There was that, yeah. He didn't name Klopp, but right. He said ever since other people from other teams spoke about us, we've got absolutely nothing from the ref or VAR, right. Words to that effect. But he also said you're never going to come here and create 10 clear-cut chances. It's like, have you seen
that?
West Brom this season? You might get 7 or 8. You know, you could like...
Yeah, just work on 7 or 8 first, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like quite a lot. I mean, as we know, I'm no maths genius, but that does
do
seem
we
like...
Well, you could be hiding your maths genius under a bushel,
oh,
Kate. We don't
thanks.
Know.
Yeah. That's nice of you, but I do, you know, like in the when we played that Masked Winger and I couldn't work out the 81 makes you 40 or whatever. Anyway, maths is not my game, and seemingly it's not Harry Maguire's either. He turned into a sort of court jester in his reactions, I felt like, at the end. You know, when he hit the bar in the like 95th minute, he sort of slumped out really like on the floor, yeah. Arms and legs, really reacting. I don't know. I mean, it was like frustration, yes, and I'm sure he was frustrated, but it was also like acting frustration. What do we make?
Yeah.
What do we make of that?
This is what a captain looks like.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, I'm sure he's genuinely passionate about it and genuinely frustrated, but I know what you mean. It's just like, I think there was a bit of a pause, wasn't there? It was too long a pause. It's like, how do I react now?
He gets his kabuki mask out.
Hit the floor. Yeah. Sam Johnston's save was something
amazing,
else,
though. Yeah, you can't. I mean, maybe that added to it. Yeah, you're right. That was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Diagne should have scored a couple of times. I think there was one in just about 2 minutes before the end. Should have put away. So yeah, I 2 points dropped for West Brom in the end. I think, which Allardyce said as well. A game we easily could have won. Solskjaer says we're not going to let them run away with it. I think he means Manchester City, but adding that life is so unpredictable. So.
See,
who the
that
bloody
annoys
hell knows?
Me. See, I think, like, you know, I've got no dog in the Man United fight, but you go back to the way that Solskjaer seems to fall back on this sort of talk when things aren't going well. Mm. And when he says, like, we're not going to let them run away with it, it's like he doesn't have the results and achievements to back up that kind of talk. So it isn't really him for him to say, because City are running away with it. And there's nothing Man United can do about it, or they surely would be doing it.
Well, I mean, they should. I mean, would help to beat West Brom, I guess. That's the sort of thing that would definitely help. It means, so at that end, of course, Man City are 7 points clear and they have a game in hand. Fulham, at the other end, are now 5 points clear of West Brom after they beat bloody Everton 2-0, which was last game last night. Really brilliant effort from...
It was a really good one, yeah.
From Fulham and Scotty Parker. You get to see another dynamic post-match from him, which will doubtless be set to the streets afterwards. So something there for everybody.
I do feel sort of sorry for Ancelotti, because this can't be a game he really understands. He understands football. He gets good players. They have some games where they play really well, and then they just do that against Fulham. And I know Fulham are an okay side for where they are in the table, but Everton just do this every single season for patches. They avert. It's a verb, to avert. It's chaos theory. It's black swan theory. They go against everything that's expected. When was the last time Ancelotti saw this? Reggiano? Like, we won't have seen this happening to his side for a very, very long time. But Fulham, like, their next three... Burnley, Sheffield United, Palace, Newcastle, who were just above, by a canny few points, but it's you can chomp them up like Pac-Man. Man United, Wolves, and Chelsea as well. Still plenty of mileage in the relegation battle. One would suggest.
Well, a good win then from Fulham. We're going to get to a break in a second, but we must just tell you before we do that there is a new Football Ramble Presents book club out today. Make sure you head over to the Football Ramble Presents feed and find the brand new episode of the book club. It's a goodie. It's something we neither... So it's Jim and me and a woman called Anne Turnquist, who is, you may not have seen out in your general football readings at any point, because what she actually
is a crime reporter. Yes, we have got for you some true crime over on Football Ramble Presents. She's here with us to talk about her bestseller, Follow Fucking Orders, although in the print run it is asterisked out, I'm glad to say, although, yeah, it's pretty wild. It tells the story about how this promising Swedish footballer became the victim of a brutal gangland execution. She talks to us all about how she came to write the book and how she herself became a target of the crime boss who ordered the killing. So, yeah, you can enjoy a bit of that from the comfort of your own home, as Jim and I did. Give it a listen. I think you'll really enjoy it. In fact, it's a break now. You can go and download it right now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's brand new show, My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson, launches this Wednesday. Clive will be quizzing some of the world's most interesting celebrities, including Griff Rhys-Jones and Shappi Khorsandi, about their own personal Seven Wonders of the World. Join Clive and his first guest, Dara O'Brien, this Wednesday. Dara talks to Clive about his love for the Irish sport hurling and some of the extra benefits that come with owning a hurley stick.
It's just pleasant to have a big stick in the house every so often. For home security, it's always nice to know that I have an arsenal if I need it.
I'll bear that in mind if I'm tempted to burgle your house in the middle of the night.
Just do it. Honestly, that's how I stand. I stand naked with my Irish testicles dangling, challenging people.
They discuss finding humour in quantum physics.
It's like saying, is the cat dead or not? Would somebody just open the box?
And discovering new passions during lockdown.
Lockdown ran a schism, essentially, between the young comics who immediately went, I must learn new skills, I must learn video editing at TikTok, and I must find new ways to bring back comedy to people. And the older comics went, yeah, retirement will be all right, actually. Sit in the garden. Turns out, you know, it's okay.
It's not too bad.
Search My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on your favourite podcast player to hear the first episode this Wednesday.
Another corner. Not too worried about these corners. I mean, it might come back to bite me here, but I think Tottenham have got the dominancy in the air there, you know, so I'm not sure anyone can get the head on the first ball for Liverpool apart from that.
Oh, Jim!
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's me, Pete and Jim, in your ears this Monday. Let's quickly get a Betway 4 to score update for you from this weekend. Entries to Betway's 4 to score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Let's see how we got on. Well, we started well, friends. Very well indeed. Marcus Speller, I'm not sure about the stats on this, but I'm pretty sure this might be the first one he's ever picked correctly. What do we think, guys? Southampton up against Wolves. It's a lunchtime kickoff. He chose Danny Ings. It was Danny Ings. Next up, Jim, you went for Bruno Fernandes in the West Brom Man United game. Difficult one to read, I'd have said. It was Mbaye Diagne. Then Arsenal against Leeds. Andy Brassel picked Patrick Bamford. The result was Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And then the fourth game, Sunday night, Luke picked Dominic Calvert-Lewin. The result was Josh Madger, one of his two. So one out of four. Hey, not bad. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to score on the previous show this Friday. Just even a show.
Yes, it is indeed time for your emails. Mollers has been in touch. He didn't want us to use his real name. And on the subject of commentary mishaps, he says, in the early tens, is that how we say it? I don't know. We
is just, it teens?
We move on from that, don't
is
we?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think we just never speak of it again, that entire two decades where we didn't know what to call the decade. But in the early 10s, I did text commentaries for an organisation based in the town I was studying in. They basically used students for cheap labour, even though their commentary went out to national and international newspaper websites and sports sites.
Why did he not want us to use his name? That's the question I've got.
Well, you will see. In the penultimate game of the 2012-2013 season, I was commentating on a match involving my team Reading and my colleague's team Man City. The game was a drab affair, and to make things a little more exciting, at half-time, my colleague and I concocted a comment that, according to sources, Manchester City have made an approach to Sir Alex Ferguson to become their director of football. It duly got published and we continued the game thinking nothing of it. The problem was that a national UK newspaper picked up on the comment and ran a headline piece on it, despite there being absolutely no truth to it whatsoever. Cute an evening of panicked phone calls to me from our UK and then American head offices, demanding to know where I'd got my information, who my sources were, and why I was just using it as a throwaway comment in a match commentary. I came clean and confessed that it was made up, leading to a severe dressing down and the newspaper withdrawing the story on their site. I still kept the job though, so you're good to see that those standards were upheld. Nice one, Mollers. I don't remember that.
I thought initially he was a spy, but I now see why he didn't want us to use his real name.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fantastic, though, like just having that power. I'm not surprised he didn't lose his job. This guy's like the kingmaker. He can just trot out any old bollocks and it becomes front page news halfway around the world. Got an email from Jared Fennell. Hello, Jared. I have a much more iconic beer drinking story that lives on in Vancouver Whitecaps folklore. Love a bit of the Vancouver Whitecaps, Peter Beasley's old club. In 1979, the Whitecaps won the Soccer Bowl, and crucial to the title victory was a game against the San Jose Earthquakes. A goal and a man down, the Whitecaps managed to hit back and win 2-1. For the winning goal, up stepped Rangers legend Wee Willie Johnston. After winning a corner, he trots over to take it, and he was offered a beer on this hot summer evening. He takes a sip and then whips in a perfect corner for the winning goal. In Johnston's words, he said, I remember I went to take a corner and this wee boy shouted, he was a Scotch boy, and he shouted, do you want a drink, Willie? I said, oh yeah, I'd love a drink. And I took it and it was warm and I went, oof, and I gave him it back. Even today, there is a banner at the stadium which reads Willie's Corner, commemorating the occasion. If you want to read more about wee Willie Johnston, he's not as romantic a figure as you might as that story might suggest. Crushing a man's windpipe with his foot.
Oh, that was not the thing. He was sent home from a World Cup, wasn't he, Willie Johnston?
back in the day.
Hay fever drugs, because of his hay fever drugs. We've all taken, me and James Campbell, the police duo, Miami has taken to its heart. We're always down the docks and the drug dealers have always got their excuses. Oh, we're just importing nasal sprays.
Oh, it's antihistamines.
It's only antihistamines. Yeah.
Absolute scum, a lot of them.
I didn't know you were the asthma brothers or whatever, the hay fever pals.
Guys, yeah.
The hay fever pals.
Brilliant. If you want to get to the show, shortfootballramble.com, and you can tweet us at footballramble.
Now we need to get to the Etihad, where Manchester City mullered Tottenham Hotspur 3-0. Rodri with a lol penalty, basically, and then two from Ilkay Gundogan. Ilkay Gundogan, bloody hell, no player in Europe's top five leagues has scored more goals in this calendar year than Gundogan. He has 11 in total. And if you like that stat, how about this one? Manchester City haven't trailed for a single minute in any of their past 15 Premier League games. Hand them the bloody title now, Jim. Hand it, just hand it to them.
Yeah. They're just walking it. They're just walking it, aren't they? I'm sure we're going to sort of come on to Edison really wanting to take the penalty and having to be told that he can't take it. But like just weeks ago, we were talking about this being the tightest Premier League season ever. And now we are seriously discussing City's goalkeeper taking the penalties for a laugh when they're not even winning at that point. And Kate, as a Tottenham fan, do you feel at least happy that Pep respected you enough to start a striker?
Oh, that's nice of you to say. I'm mainly galled about the fact that Edison didn't take the penalty. That for me was the shit icing on the cake of shit. That's all the positives I can take. I get frustrated because I feel as though we have a team I know that there's all this chat about needing a whole load of new players, but we actually have a team with some very, very good talent in it, and I just feel as though. And this is something I spoke about a lot back in the day when Jose Mourinho was at Manchester United. I just feel as though people need different ways of being nurtured. And many people, if not most people, do not feel nurtured and encouraged to do their best work if people aren't necessarily giving them the confidence to do that or telling them, just stop making mistakes, guys. You're being a bit shit. Why are you being so shit?
Yeah.
I'm the boss and I tell you not to be, you know?
Mm. I mean, you're still in Europe and you've still got a League Cup final. I mean,
we will lose 4-0.
But they need to up the intensity, don't they, Jim? It's like I think the main problem is like Jose Mourinho's trying to play slightly more expansive football. He is a defensive manager. You've got Son there who has kind of carried some matches on his not so broad shoulders, and he's fallen off a bit. He will be back, no doubt.
Oh, God.
You've got a goalkeeper in this match, obviously, who's he got snapping at his heels? Joe Hart? Like, what? There's not a lot of competition for places in the Spurs side, but fundamentally, like, I don't think it's as bad as everyone's saying. Man City are a very good football team, and Gundogan's scoring more goals because he's just been literally the change in formation. Man City side has just been move Gundogan closer to the goal, and he seems to score more goals. It's not rocket science, is it?
Yeah, but unfortunately with Spurs, we seem to have moved Harry Kane further away from the goal, and that has had the opposite effect.
There did seem to be a lot of cases in the game where an individual Spurs player was basically faced with just having to take on the whole team. The City are so good at swarming and just dominating the positions on the pitch almost. But I agree with you, Pete. I think there's a lot of alarmism around Spurs at the moment. I don't think it's as bad as people are saying. And I think the Carabao Cup will be interesting because this is a real reminder that they're going to have to absolutely Jose that game. It's going to be park the bus properly, like eke it out, just stop it. It's a spectacle. So it'd be interesting to see if he can do that with the personnel. And I guess I fall into
Pete, we can't defend. The whole point is our best bits are the bits at the front. So I don't know. What's the point of doing that? We need to be doing things, active things. We need to be trying to create opportunities. I guess like we did in the FA Cup, I embarrassedly concede.
It must be galling for Jose not to be able to get a tune out of Davinson Sanchez because he's just looked really off the pace, really confused about his positioning. He lets players just kind of leave his radius of influence, let's say. And he, I think obviously Levy's going to be furious about how much resale value is going to get out of him.
Oh, don't yeah, that was, the poor lad on the ground.
Not his finest moment.
That was sad.
It's a nice little header on the ground. Yeah. I liked it. Like a little worm really trying was. To... what do worms eat? Smaller worms?
Yeah. The screenshots of Gundogan just like about to strike the ball and Davinson Sanchez face down on the floor.
Straight
quite
at
telling.
His feet. Ah, praise you, yeah. Gundogan. You're so great.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. So I think maybe I run the risk of falling into the trap myself that I've just spoken about the alarmism around Spurs. Mm. But, Kate, do you think there is a possibility that kind of... The drain that we associate with Jose Mourinho having been at a club for a little while and the effect it has on the players has maybe been accelerated by COVID and the sort of condensed season? Because this is like, you know, he seems to be falling out of players and they're maybe not responding. That you associate that with the third season in his cycle and it seems to be happening now.
Well, interestingly, he started being quite... He's been doing these sort of, not on bail, obviously, although bloody hell, did you see that little dribble? That was lovely. But he started saying stuff about broadly positive stuff quite often after results that you wouldn't think he'd be feeling very positive about, such as that one. So it's almost as though he is, I don't know, same as when he came in and he was all laughs and jokes, Jose. It's almost as though he is sort of trying to do something slightly different. But maybe it's a case that, you know, you've got to follow your instincts, especially if you're someone who has won all those titles. But I don't, as a Spurs fan, off the back of Poch, I don't want it to be all misery and pain.
Or did you say misery?
Misery.
Like it's a business misery. That is Mourinho in a...
Misery business,
in a portmanteau, isn't it? It's all misery.
Yeah, I fear so. I mean, look, let's. Should we talk about some penalty lols as well? Edison, why can't he take the penalty? Is that disrespectful?
I mean, the danger is that if you miss and the ball stays in play, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, but we can
you?
All
but
miss.
I doubt that,
I mean,
that would ever happen.
Yeah, I think the idea is he scores, isn't it? That's the.
Could he not just run over and like rugby tackle someone and just grab the ball with his hands and then get a yellow?
It's a great idea.
It's not denying a goal scoring opportunity, is it?
We all want to see it. We all want to see it, but you don't want to see it against your own club. Do you know what I mean? You'd feel so personally insulted.
No, I want to see it. I wanted to see it.
Having a goalkeeper doing
it. I wanted to see it. Disrespect him. That's the old Guardiola Mourinho.
Remember back in like the early noughties and the 90s where like, to Andy's chagrin, no doubt, that Wimbledon would get all of the great goals scored against them. Just do it against Wimbledon. Yes. Try it there. That's the Petri dish of disrespect for the entirety of the Football League. And then you know, do it elsewhere as well.
Before we move on from this game, can we talk about Martin Tyler's breathing? Because I've now stopped listening to the fake crowd noise.
Right.
And I'm just going to have to put it back on. Because he's just breathing into the microphone a lot. And it is like... It's like I think the crowd have been covering this up in the past. Do you remember... are we all old enough to remember the day after the smoking ban? Where you'd walk into a pub and it's like, oh, this smells horrendous. Bring the smoke back. It's... Sort of a bit like that.
Yeah. The Vish on WhatsApp was talking about, remember the Tears on Days chocolate rain? Chocolate rain. And he used to, and every time to in between lines, he'd sort of put his head away from the mic to breathe. And he'd just little subtitle comes up. I move away from the mic to breathe. Chocolate rain.
And it's live.
I'm always. Are you not a bit nervous, Jim, saying stuff about people breathing into as a podcast veteran? Are you not nervous that people are then going to pick up some weird stuff about your breathing? I always feel a bit.
We're the hay fever boys. We don't care. Yeah. We're ripped to the tits on Beckoners.
Yeah, just testing it all out from down the docks. We don't even want it, but we've got to know what it is.
Yeah, you do sometimes hear podcast. Lukey at points has in the deep distant past used to be a bit of a mic breather. I seem to recall, but he stopped that. But then he's picked up the drinking a water bottle, Nalgene bottle, halfway through it as well. You do hear it on other podcasts. I could give you some notables from other football podcasts, for example. But I shan't.
Don't
keep
start
my own counsel.
That. We don't need. You're the hay fever boys. You're just neutral. You're not the Jets and the other lot.
We're reactionary. We're very reactionary.
Yeah, that is true. Do you want to talk about Arsenal, guys? Arsenal 4, Leeds 2. 3-0 lead before half-time. Saka and Aubameyang, the engine behind that. Arsenal storming to 10th, Jim. You must be very proud.
Yeah.
Aubameyang with a hat-trick by 47 minutes. OK, they did then concede a couple of goals. And the problem with playing Leeds, I think, is that you basically feel as though you might not win throughout.
Yeah, very much so. And if Arteta said that at half time and still it happened, which is credit to Leeds, really.
Don't, bring Willian on then.
Were very
bring Martinelli on, mate.
Oh, God. Willian. Go.
Oh, no. Oh, why did my car stop? Because you got your hand on the fucking handbrake, you dick.
Yeah. He, honestly, he's the herald of the same. If Willian comes on, nothing's going to change about the result, fundamentally. It's just... I forget he's there, and then every time... I mean, I know he's become a lightning rod and he's a better player than the abuse he's getting suggests, but he needs a goal. He needs a really good performance and a goal at some point. But yeah, otherwise, I was kind of really happy with the way Arsenal played. Like, Ødegaard's proper first start was encouraging. The fact that him and Emil Smith-Rowe played together and worked together was really, really good as well. Aubameyang looks to have the confidence that he had from last season. That first goal in particular was a great, great example of that. So I was just really happy with the way, with everything
creating
about
chances.
It. I mean, obviously, you don't want to... Yeah, they did. They were very, very creative, which is what you want to see. And obviously, conceding the two goals in the second half was annoying, but such is Leeds. You know, they're going to throw that at you.
Did you see that Bielsa stopped on camera as he was getting off the bus just to stare at a picture of the Arsenal squad? He just took it all in. He's like Johnny Five from Short Circuit. He will never stop absorbing input. It's incredible.
This is why you love him, isn't it? Also, the post-match. You can see clearly from watching the game that the opposing manager prepared this game much better than I did. Brilliant.
No. I like that. A lot of time for that.
Leeds missed Calvin Phillips, certainly. And let's face it, they could have had a penalty for 4-3. Oh, Patrick Bamford crowded out. Definitely a foul outside the box, if it had been. So why, Jim Campbell, are we not watching a nervy Arsenal trying to hold on with the ghost of 10 years ago against Newcastle?
Yeah, I was surprised that wasn't a penalty, to be honest. I think we got away with that a little bit. But maybe the referee just thought, surely Arsenal haven't been that Arsenal. Have they? Nah, I must have imagined that. I think they were quite hard done by there. But yeah, I'm fine with it, to be honest. I don't care if the rules go in our favour.
Jim Campbell
being
speaking
completely honest.
For all football fans there, I think it's probably fair to say. Guys, now we must... I'm sad we haven't devoted the entire second half to this, but as we mentioned, Kevin Keegan was yesterday 70 years old. The three of us, as you'll be able to see, dear listeners, on socials, have celebrated with a full perm to go with our moustaches. How have you celebrated? Tell us. Show at footballramble.com. Pete, do we think he went anywhere in his full Newcastle kit in a helicopter to celebrate the big day?
Nobody ever talks about where he landed. They never talk about Donald Trump went to is it Fort Worth, that's Dallas, isn't it? He fought something or other. David, did you go to Camp David? I don't know, either way, nobody talks about where Keegan landed in that situation. But What a playing career. What a great sort of way to end a playing career. Like he goes from the European Cup with Liverpool, fucks off to Hamburg for literally no reason. He has a terrible
first
season.
He likes German. That's what he says in his autobiography that I finished recently. He says he liked the German. He's a multicultural man. Why the hell
he didn't
not?
Like this. He didn't like the first season because no one passed the ball to him because they all hated him.
Bless him.
You're only allowed two foreign players in German squads at that point. But I love hearing Kevin Keegan. Yeah, exactly. I love hearing Mighty Mouse speak in German. It's adorable. But look, we've spoken at length, or rather, I've spoken at length to defend the great man. He's a bloke who just got Newcastle United, and for me, that's why I love him. He's just a man who just has immense personal pride in a game full of absolute charlatans. He was a footballer who was the best in Europe at times, and He was a man. He's not respected, perhaps, where he should be as a manager. But he would get to a point with the club where, if he felt that he wasn't giving a decent account of himself, or the club were taking the piss in Newcastle's case, in the latter stages of both periods at Newcastle, he would just walk away. He didn't want to put his name to it, and he talks quite eloquently now in that interview in The Athletic with Alan Shearer about how. He sometimes wants Newcastle to lose because that might affect some change. And I do agree. I do get that quite a lot, to be honest, because I think when matches start to turn south for Newcastle, like Bruce has just set up this weird defensive formation with 20 centre-backs and that, I do sometimes think, would a 1-0 loss paper over the cracks a little bit for Newcastle? Maybe a 5-1 pasting sends a message to the pricks that I hear constantly telling me that Newcastle fans have unrealistic expectations, and even though we're fucking hovering around the relegation spots, would Newcastle doing a Sunderland or a Man City and dropping down a couple of leagues rid us of Ashley? Possibly would. But so I do kind of get the way he feels, I think, with Newcastle sometimes. Oh man, he gave me and every Newcastle fan such great memories. And and John Beresford once told him to fuck off. So
yeah. I think as well, Pete, that transcends just Newcastle fans. I think as someone who grew up watching football in the 90s, fell in love with football in the 90s, and when the Premier League really bloomed, I suppose, he was a huge, huge part of that, and the way he got Newcastle playing. Those 4-3s as well, even though obviously, you know, Newcastle were on the wrong side of those against Liverpool, just as a neutral, they were some of the best football and most thrilling football that we've seen. And it's a really lovely interview with Alan Shearer in the Athletic, isn't it, where they just nattered on for ages about the good old days. And it's just, you know, we've said a lot of things about Kevin Keegan on this podcast, many of them deeply disrespectful, but he is clearly a lovely, lovely man who played a huge part in one of the most entertaining teams in the history of the Premier League. And it is just really nice to read him and Shearer talking about the good old days. And it's sad as well to hear about the way he was treated by the Ashley regime when he says he doesn't even really count his second spell at Newcastle. No. And I think, you know, you can't help but kind of think that's reasonable, to be honest.
He was just brought
in as a PR move and not backed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you not welcome Kevin Keegan to St James's Park? That's absurd. That's like not welcoming Ian Wright at Arsenal, or like Jurgen Klinsmann at Spurs. It's absurd.
Well, Ian Wright wasn't welcome at Arsenal for quite a while, wasn't he? He got kind of come back in the affections because he was too awesome to ignore. <laughs> at one point. Well, I'd love him, absolutely love him, and the caliber of footballer he got at Newcastle United, mainly down to him, mainly down to his reputation as a player, mainly down to his charisma, mainly, you know, Rob Lee probably wouldn't have been a Newcastle player. I think he's probably going to go to Manchester United if he didn't explain to him that, you know, Newcastle's closer to London, which isn't.
I think it was Middlesbrough.
Was it Middlesbrough?
I think it was actually Middlesbrough rather than Man United.
Right, okay.
Nice.
Not much in it, but still.
The Shearer piece, if you haven't read it, guys, on the Athletic, it opens. Kevin Keegan is 70 on Valentine's Day, and off the top of my head, it is difficult to think of anything more appropriate. So he's definitely in the Pete Donaldson camp on this one. I mean, you bring up a good point, Pete, and perhaps I'll send it over to you, Jim. Are Newcastle fans entitled, would you say?
Why are we talking about this?
I don't think they're entitled, but I think...
You don't have to answer that one, mate.
Bruce is doing an all right job.
you don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it. You can evacuate. Quick nods to our Patreon, by the way, guys. Over there, you can listen to a brand new episode of The Teams of Our Lives. And on today's episode, Marcus and Andy are talking all about Keggy's entertainers. So what a perfect way to celebrate the man himself. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble for all of that lovely stuff. That's what I'm going to be doing after this. What are you up to, Pete? Apart from you might want to fix this perm.
Yeah, I need to have some hair relaxant and spend the day relaxing my hair back, because it's not a good look. I look weird.
And Jim, I guess
you're going to have to...
You'll be twizzling the moustache.
Well, I was just going to say that Detective Donaldson and I do not have time to rest, so we'll be off down the docks. Yeah, we got perps to nail.
Yeah.
Good luck out there. It's a dangerous, dangerous world. And, you know, I just want to say on behalf of
Britain, that we appreciate and respect the work you two men do under difficult and dangerous circumstances.
Miami
Lice. Our show. It is Jules, Andy and Jim. Do join us then. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.